We are taking a few weeks to talk about Christmas season, and specifically we're talking about Advent. Advent's time of year, Christians remember the themes of Christmas that Jesus came to bring us. And so we're taking a pause from our normal series to do that. And today is one of those days we're discussing Advent. It's four big themes: our hope, peace, joy, and love. And last week we talked about hope, and today we're talking about peace. And of course, Debbie did a great job in reading us the scriptures earlier as we had some quiet time reflecting on peace. And perhaps the word peace, when you hear it now, you hear a word that perks you up, because you walked into this room today looking for peace. You're like, man, I'll tell you, I could use some peace in my life. You know, we got some chaos going on. There's some health problems, or there's some financial strain, or there's some job situations that are not very calm, or there's some people in my life are bringing some drama to my front door. And I'll tell you what, it's not very peaceful. I would love some peace. Arlen, I would like a piece of that peace this Christmas. And we're going to talk about peace today, but just like we did last week with the topic of hope, I want to remind you that sometimes we come in with a definition that's different than what God is presenting. Like our hopes last week were often micro hopes, and the hope we discussed at Christmas was a macro hope. And same with peace. Oftentimes, my definition of peace, and if you were honest, maybe you would also agree, our definition of peace often looks like this. All is calm inside. Whoop, back one here. All is calm inside because all is calm outside. That's the definition of peace we often have, right? All is calm inside because all is calm outside. In other words, if everyone around me is behaving and not making life any more difficult than it has to be, and the job's going well, and the money's going well, and everything's going well, and people are nice, and the spouse is great, and behaving better, and the kids are doing what they're supposed to do, my parents aren't idiots, and I mean, if everything's wonderful around me, and all is calm on the outside, then all is calm on the inside. And that's peace, and that's what I'm looking for, right? Just everyone make my life peaceful. And that's a very normal definition of peace that we'd like to carry, or we'd like to look for. But here's the question I ask myself and I ask you: how's that working out for us, right? How is it working out for us that everything is calm on the outside? Maybe you're in this room today and everything in your life is going amazing. I mean, it's like every person your spouse is just doing exactly what you wish they would do all the time, treating you like majesty, and your children are just angelic, and your parents are the best always, never on your case for anything. All your extended relatives are amazing, and your job is great, and you open your bank account and there's more money than you thought there was. You're like, what? And your health and everything is just wonderful. If that's your story today, I just want to say congratulations. Really. Enjoy that. But I think we can all agree that those moments don't happen often, where every part of our life, every compartment, usually there's at least one compartment of our life that's got some chaos going on. For some of us, there's several things at once that are pretty chaotic, right? And so, you know, you've got some chaos. And if the problem with that definition of peace that's on the screen, the problem with that is this. If things cannot be calm on the inside unless they're calm on the outside, then I can't have peace very often. Follow with me here. If that's what peace looks like, then peace is out of our control. And I might as well not even give this sermon today, because it's only luck. If everything's going well for you, then you have peace. Why talk about it? Because nothing you could do about that. We can't control what happens on the outside. So good luck. I hope you find peace. Unless peace comes a different way. And I want to talk about that today. And so we're going to do this by talking about, first of all, a very macro idea that is the foundation of peace. I'm going to start with that. And then on that foundation, which I think is important, we're going to build a couple principles that will bring peace where it needs to be. First, the big idea. The message of Christmas is that we can have peace with God. That's the whole message of Christmas. And the passage that Debbie read earlier about the promise of the future coming Messiah, the coming king that was going to be known as many things, the Prince of Peace. Didn't have a very peaceful life himself, by the way, but he came to bring a peace. What does that mean then? because it didn't seem so peaceful when he was around. It doesn't seem so peaceful for me today. But Paul, the apostle, would write a letter later on to the believers who lived in the city of Rome. Now, we read from Romans last week as well. I want to remind you, Rome was not a very peaceful place to live, especially for a Jesus follower in that time. Rome was the center of the Roman Empire, the capital city, where might makes right. It was a fluff place to be. And when the Christian movement began to grow, those who were Jesus followers, as that message began to spread, were very persecuted for many decades, or for a couple centuries. And it was a tough season to be a Jesus follower, especially in Rome. And Paul writes about peace with God to the Romans, and he says in Romans 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us." Now, here's what's interesting. First of all, the beginning part says, we have been made right in God's sight by faith. We know that's true. Paul would elsewhere say, we are saved by grace through faith. It's God's grace, our faith, not of works. We don't earn it. The problem with working for our salvation is we, no matter how much good we do, we can't undo the wrong we've done. It's like committing a crime and saying, yeah, but, you know, I shouldn't be penalized for the crimes I've committed because I've done a whole lot of good stuff, you know. They've still got to answer for the wrong. And our works don't overcome the fact that there's a gap created by our sin. Sin means to miss the mark in the Greek. It means hamartano, to miss the mark. We've all missed the mark. We all come short of the glory of God. There's sin in our lives that separated us from him, kept us from peace, as any relationship has a lack of peace when there's something between you and others that needs to be resolved. And God did for us what every person has to do when something is offensive to us. It's usually on the one offended to build the bridge. Almost always. And God in his love reached across and said, I want to bring peace to you through Christ Jesus. And so peace that we have with God comes from his grace and our faith. We don't work for it. We don't earn it. We just believe and receive what Jesus did for us. And if you've never found peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done, if you've never found peace with God, I want to encourage you this Christmas. That's the most important thing I can pass along to you. Because, listen, nothing else. Really, we're going to give you some principles in a minute that I think are big ideas that you can try to practice apart from this. And it's just good advice. But the foundation that you can build everything on that never wavers or never crumbles, that we draw from, is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've never received, if you've ever put your faith in him, believed and received his goodness, I hope that this morning, you'll get the greatest gift you'll ever get this Christmas season. Once we find peace with God, we then move on to something that we build upon that foundation, and that is this. Because we have peace with God, now we can be at peace. We can be at peace. Now, it doesn't mean we will be at peace. There's people I know who found peace with God through faith, but they live their lives without any peace at all because of how people are acting or how life is going, and they know that they've made the right things right with God, but they're not at peace with all the other stuff in their life, and so they are full of anxiety and worry. I'm that way sometimes. You're that way sometimes, perhaps. It's easy to not be at peace, even if we found peace with God. So the foundation is the starting point, but here's the thing. You can be at peace. Jesus, the night that he would be betrayed and then arrested, Jesus would be betrayed and arrested the night he had a last meal with his disciples. And he knew that he was going to be crucified the very next day. And so he shared this last supper with his closest followers. And as they ate, he told them what was about to happen to him. And they did not take it well. They were not excited about that. But Jesus said to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust God. Trust in me." He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I'm done, I'm going to come and I'm going to bring you to be with me where I am. And we'll be together again." And then he said, "Listen, I'm also going to send my spirit, the spirit of God, to live inside of you as you trust in me, to walk this life with you." We talked about that a little bit last week. It was what Paul called a foretaste of future glory, the spirit of God in us. He said, "I'm going to leave and prepare. We're going to be together one day, and I'm going to send my spirit in the meantime." And also he said, "You can be at peace." And here's what he said that last night. By the way, no one was feeling peaceful during that conversation. And Jesus said in John 16:33, He said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. That must have been calming to hear. I can almost picture the disciples saying, have peace in me. Oh, you ever just hear someone say something nice and you just feel better because they say something nice? Or here's what was funny. Someone says something funny. They're like, hey, I heard a funny joke. And you're like, oh, I haven't heard the joke yet. But just because there's a funny joke coming, I laugh, I smile. You know, and he says, hey, in me, you might have peace. Oh, that feels great. Tell me more. So he continues. He says, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Wait a minute now. Where's all that peace talk? That was so nice a moment ago. And when he said trials and sorrows, he just took the oxygen right out of the room. I was all on that peace kick, and then he mentions having trials. How can I possibly have peace when there's trials and sorrows on the earth? I live on earth. Like, if it's not that calm around me, how could it possibly be calm inside of me? That doesn't make sense. But then Jesus adds, but take heart, he says. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart or take courage. Jesus went to the cross. He conquered, he not only paid for our sins, but he conquered death so we could have the promise of eternal life and peace with God. And he says, listen, I've overcome this world. And so here's what he's saying. You don't need to be overcome by this world. The things around you that are not calm, that trouble you, don't need to overcome you. They might, and you can let them, but they don't need to, because I've overcome the world. Don't let it overcome you. You can have peace in me, even while there's trials and sorrows around you. That's a big idea. And it's a redefinition of peace than what we might naturally carry into our lives. Jesus is saying that real peace or true peace looks like this, that all is calm inside, no matter what happens outside. That all is calm inside, no matter what happens outside. Because again, I can't control, if my ability to have calm or peace is dependent on what happens outside, I can never have peace. It's just not gonna happen. I'll always be a victim mentality reacting to what others' situations are inflicting upon me, and that's why I can never have peace. Unless those rare moments where the stars align. But if peace can be, no matter what's happening around me, it's calm within me. Well, that's peace. And Jesus says, I came for you to have that. You find that in me. He talks a lot about spending time and, of course, getting in his presence, but just is really a trusting posture. That a God who, on the macro level, can solve our eternal problems and can give us eternal life and take care of the things like, I don't know, death and the things that we fear. As we talk about that with a dear one on hospice, and take care of where we know what happens next after life. But here's the thing. If God could do all that, he can certainly take care of me through my trials. He can certainly take care of me through my sorrows. He can certainly give me a reason to stay calm on the inside, no matter what's happening on the outside. Here's the crazy part. The longer we follow the Lord, the more we should learn this naturally. How many times, I remember when I was a very young 25-year-old pastor, and there was a man in our church who was a few decades ahead of me, one of our deacons who was helping mentor a very young kid trying to do what I was trying to do. He would often say to me, every time something traumatic comes into my life that I can't control, he said, I always remember all the times that God has been faithful in the past, and if God's been faithful before, I can trust him this time too. And the older we get, that makes sense. That things get tough, but God's brought me through and seen me through that. But before we even have that experience, the anchor point is that posture of trust, that God's got this. If he can save us, if he can provide eternal life, if he can save us for all eternity, if he can redeem this world, certainly he can get me through the things I'm facing. So if things are not calm on the outside, they can still be calm inside. Peace. But then he adds another layer. And perhaps it's not the layer that we are looking for, because that's what we want. We want it to be calm inside. We were hoping the outside would be calm, so the inside would be calm. We can't control that. Jesus says, let it be calm inside because of me. Lean into me. Trust me. Connect with me. And let me remind you that it's going to be okay. Come in my presence as often as you need to remember that it's going to be okay no matter what's happening around you. And perhaps that's what you come today saying, I need that. But Jesus isn't going to leave us there. He's going to take it to another level. He's going to challenge us with a mission of peace. That once we have peace with God through faith in Christ, and then once we are at peace in Christ, no matter what's happening around us, we can then begin our task to bring peace to the world around us. Well, who wants to do that? I like the world around me to bring peace to me. That sounds good. Can the world around me bring me some peace? No, he says, I want you to bring some peace to the world around you. Now, I'm going to give you, there could be a lot of Bible verses to reinforce this idea. I'm going to give you one simple one for now, and we'll look at some more in a few minutes. One simple verse, Jesus was preaching his famous Sermon on the Mount. Remember that famous sermon he preached? Probably preached it wherever he went, but Matthew recorded it one time for us. And in that sermon early on, here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 9. He says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who work for peace. Some of your older English translations might say, God blesses those who are peacemakers. Same thing. Those who are peacemakers, those who work for peace. Who wants to do that? I want someone else to work for peace for me. Right? You work for peace for me, make a call. And he says, no, God blesses those who work for peace. And here's what he says, they'll be called the children of God. They'll be called the children of God. Now here's what this means, and this I want you to not miss this. That, you ever have someone tell you that you resemble your parent? Ever had that happen to you before? Like, hey, you look like your dad or mom, or you resemble, you know, maybe it's your physical features. You have their dimples, or their, you have your dad's eyebrows, or you got your third cousin's fourth aunt's wart on their head or something. I don't know. But anyhow, you have your resemblance of your family, or you look like your parents. Or maybe it's not your looks, maybe it's your personality. Like you have their mannerisms and their quirks or their character traits. Someone might say you have the kindness of your mother, or you have the integrity of your father. You just remind me of your parents. Jesus says, God blesses those who work for peace. They will be called the children of God. That we resemble our Heavenly Father most when we do what he did for us, when he came and worked for our peace, when we had made peace difficult because of our direction and our choices, our selfish ambitions, and the conflict that all of those have brought to ourselves and to others and to the world in which we live. And God came and worked for our peace and made peace for us. And when we work for peace and when we are peacemakers, we are called the children of God, and we most resemble him when we learn this principle. Quick story, this last year, Michelle and I took our youngest, Lindsay, a couple of different trips. One last December / January, after our Christmas Eve service, we went down to Florida to Disney World. And then this August, after school started back up, since Lindsay hadn't started her cosmetology school yet, we took her in August to Washington, D.C. Now, we have been to Disney World in Washington, D.C. several times before. But Lindsay was our youngest, and so she did not have as many memories of those places because she was younger as her older siblings had. So she wanted to go back. So we went to Disney and Washington, and neither place, we got motel rooms in both places, but neither place did we intend to spend much time in our motel room. This was not that kind of trip. It's the kind of trip where you get up early, you get all the sights you can, and you collapse in bed that night, and you hit the day running again the next day. It was that kind of vacation for us, which we could be kind of active like that in general anyhow. And so anyhow, we did not, they were long days out, and I have a very old phone. It's sitting next to Brett down here, very old phone. It's the oldest phone in my family, in my house, the others in our house have nicer, newer phones than me, but I'm just stubborn. Like, I don't want to pay that kind of money for another phone, you know? So I just keep it. The battery just does die so much quicker than it used to. I'm always charging it, you know? And so I knew on that trip it was going to just deplete, especially because when we're walking around places like Disney or, Washington, D.C., I always have the maps on to help me get to the next place. all the different sites. And of course, you know, Disney's got its four theme parks, and then Washington D.C.'s got its monuments, and it's you know, the outdoor mall that's beautiful, the Smithsonian's, the quaint Georgetown area. So we were going to be on the move all the time. I'm going to have my map running, and my phone's not going to last. So I brought with me a plan. I brought a handy battery pack like this right here. Now, this is a kind of, you're like, oh, that looks like an old-style battery pack. Yes. Did I mention I have an old phone? Okay, so yes, but it's what my phone needs to stay charged. And I would charge this thing up, and it takes a while because it's big, but I charge this thing up, and then I plug my phone and take it with me wherever we went, I'd plug my phone into it. As my phone began to deplete throughout the day in those two places, I'd have my battery pack with me in a pack, and it would just charge the phone right back up. It's a miracle. Magic phone all day. At nighttime, I go back to the hotel room, plug this battery pack into the wall so it could recharge, so it would be fully charged, so I could keep charging my phone. Now, let's suppose this did not happen, but let's suppose that for a couple days, I did not plug my battery pack into the wall because I just got distracted. I'm known to do that. I got distracted, never charged the battery pack. I just kept draining it every day. And about 3 days in, I'm out in D.C. or wherever, and I'm like, oh, no, my phone's pretty charged still, but I'm going to start draining it, and my battery pack is dead because I forgot to charge it before I came out here. And so here's my bright idea. I'm like, I know what I'll do. I will plug my phone into my battery pack so my phone can charge my battery pack so that later my battery pack can then charge my phone. Some of you are laughing or grinning at me because you know that's a dumb idea. It won't work. It doesn't work that way. It's not even built to work that way. Now, I could get mad. Imagine I did that and I got mad. Stupid phone. All this time that battery pack has charged this phone, and the one time I needed to give back a little, it can't do it. I can't believe the audacity of this thing. It's unfair. It's a one-way street with this thing. One-way street, I'll tell you for sure. And I'm so upset. I could be mad. But it's not, the problem is not that the phone isn't charging the battery pack. The problem is I didn't charge the battery pack where I'm supposed to charge it at. That's why it's empty. You see, Arlen, of course, thanks for that great lesson in science, buddy. Hey, you're welcome. There's more where that came from, okay? But no, here's the deal. Here's the deal. That's how many of us approach the subject of peace. Many of us approach peace the same way. Jesus says, listen, don't look for things to be calm on the outside for things to be calm on the inside. You find your peace in me no matter what's happening on the outside. Find your peace in me. And then he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to let me charge you up with peace, and then you take my peace and you be a peacemaker. You work for peace. Now what happens is if we're not careful, we'll walk into this world without peace. And we'll begin to look for places where God wants us to bring peace and expect them to bring us peace. And we'll be like, I've brought you peace before. I've been the peacemaker before. Why don't you do it now? This is a one-way street. It's not fair. We can get mad. We can blame others. We can say, I'm tired. We can say all we want to say. But we will all be drained one day. We will all be drained if we spend our time looking at other people and other sources to make our lives at peace. And some of us are drained. And what I'm saying to us today is this. Find your peace with God. And then be a peacemaker. Work for peace. Do what he called us to do. When I'm at peace with him, I can take his peace and I can spread it elsewhere. That's the model he gives us. Not to blame places where we're not supposed to find our peace for not making things peaceful, but instead to get our peace for where we know it comes from and share it with those who need it most. I want to show you a couple more verses from Romans. Remember, Paul writes this letter to the believers who lived in the city of Rome. And he's talking to people who did not know what peace around them looked like. If you lived in the city of Rome, you're in a place where there's not a lot of peace around you, not a lot of calm around you. But here's what Paul says to them in Romans chapter 12. He says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. You're like, I don't want to, what? I don't want to bless those who persecute me. I want to persecute them back. They're making my life have no calm. I want to give them back what they're giving to me. That's what I want to do. Don't curse them. I want to curse them. I don't want to bless them. I don't want to pray that God will bless them. Why should they have calm and peace from God when they're causing me none? But Jesus continues. Paul continues. He says in verse 15, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Now, you know that verse? That's easy. when it's people I love and I'm close to? I'm sad when they're sad, I'm happy when they're happy. It's a little harder in the context here when I'm dealing with people who persecute me. In the context of people who don't make my life easy, being happy when they're happy is hard. Being weeping when they weep is hard. I'm happy when they weep. They're a jerk to me. And I'm sad when they're happy. They don't deserve it if I'm in that mindset. But Paul says, don't do that. He goes on and says this in verse 16, live in harmony with each other. Well, again, Paul, it would be a lot easier for me to live in harmony if they would be harmonious. He says, but don't live in harmony. And then this is so interesting. He says, don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Like, what does that have to do? Like, what a detour that was. No. It's two sides of the same coin. It's so interesting. What happens is this. When people around us are not making our lives very calm, they're persecuting us, as Paul would word it. They're what we might say, they're causing drama today or something else. When people are not making our lives calm on the outside, we have a couple typical reactions. One of those reactions is to be bitter because they're not charging our battery because they're making it hard. They're draining us. I'm mad and bitter and say, it's not fair. You should be this way. And why should I be the one that tries? And all the things. Or we can flip the coin and say, oh, I heard a sermon the other day. Ah, I just am better than you. My reaction could be to get bitter or to act like I'm better. Look down upon people. The more I can ghost you, I could fight with you, or I can just blow you off. He's, don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, people who, just like you, struggle, just like you, want peace, whether they have it or not. And don't think you know it all. You know, there's nothing harder in this world than people who think they know it all. And sometimes they're religious people. That's not a religious person problem, it's a human problem, but people who get religious are like, oh, I know the things of God better than you. Aren't they fun? And just don't be either side of that coin, the person who thinks you're bitter at others or you're better than others. Just be at harmony with everyone around you. Say, how do I do that? He says, it's hard. No, it's hard. It's what he calls it working for peace. Working for peace. He says in the next verse, never pay back evil with more evil. But you got to fight fire with fire. It's a dog-eat-dog world, you know. You got to do what you got to do. It's just the way you got to get on that level. No. Don't pay back evil for evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. You're like, Arlen, I've heard people say before, the problem with being honorable in a dishonorable world is that people will take advantage of you, okay? And then they're going to leverage that, and they're going to win. I want to win. Win what? What are you trying to win? What did Jesus win in this life when the people that he poured his life into crucified him and his haters mocked him on the cross? So, well, he won after death when he rose again and beyond. Exactly. Maybe the win comes later. What are we trying to win here? Maybe we can instead say, God brought peace to us, and I can do the same thing. And be honorable. And people who might not even want to follow those footsteps can see a person who does it better because God has helped them live a better way. I will be honorable because this world needs to see what God has called us to do, what he has done for us. And then Paul closes by saying, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. I just love this verse so much. It's one of my favorites. It's so much in there. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. You ever try to live in peace with everyone? Okay, let's just talk about everyone for a minute. There are people in your life and my life that are very peaceful people, aren't they? There are people who never cause you a minute of ruffling. They're just people that we know them. You're probably thinking of them right now. They're like easy. They're peaceable people. Then there are people who are not so, they don't bring God's peace with them. You know, they bring a little turmoil to your encounters. But most of the time, if we do what we can do, if we work for peace, we can usually make that situation peaceful for most people. Most of the time, if one of us will be a peacemaker. If one of us, will, instead of saying, well, it's your turn, I'm as a, it's a one-way, if we'll stop all the pettiness and the it's not fair talk and just say, I will be a person who has peace with God and brings peace. Most people, we can diffuse things. Most people, we can get things, they'll calm down and they'll change the tone. If we'll change the tone, Proverbs once said, a soft answer turns away wrath. We can handle things and we can bring peace where there is not peace with somebody. So some people are peaceful. Others who are not, we can make it peaceful if we'll be peacemakers. I've known people my whole life as a pastor who have so much agitation with other people, and they'll come to me and they'll be like upset with this person or that person. They're like, Arlen, it's their problem. It's not me, because I get along with you just fine, Arlen. And I'm thinking, that's not because you're easy to get along with, buddy. It's because I just know how to make peace with you. But you think that means that, but you can do that. That's the point. You can make peace with people who aren't at peace most of the time if you'll be a peacemaker. If you'll work for peace. However, there are just some people that no matter what you do, it ain't ever gonna work. I have people in this world that no matter how much I try through the years, I can tell you the stories, they just don't like me. And nothing's gonna go well. Not very many, but there's just some like that in the world. For you and for me. And that's why Paul says, do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Some are easy, some you can do it, and others, well, you did all you can do. Some of your older English translations might say, as much as it lies within you, live in peace with everyone. Or as much as it's up to you, live at peace with everyone. Do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Now, here's the thing, that's not a cop-out. It'd be easy for me to say, hey, I did all I can do. I didn't really, but I said that, you know. I did all I can do. And I can say that, and you can say that, and everyone else has got to take our word for it, because we're not God, we can't judge anybody. Okay, you did all you can do. But I can't buffalo God like that. I can't go to God and say, you don't know. He knows that I've done all I could do, and he knows when I haven't. So here's the question. Am I doing all I can do to live at peace with everyone? Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes I can make it happen. Other times, we did what we could. And that's the idea. But if I'm looking to them to bring me peace, I won't find it. Here's my summary statement, and I'll say a couple more things and we'll be done. Whoa, there goes no peace. Okay, here's the whole sermon in a synopsis. Once we find peace with God, and again, peace with God comes first. If you've never come to faith in Christ and made peace with God today, I hope you will do that today. That's the best thing you'll do this Christmas, is come to faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for us to bring us eternal life. Upon that foundation, here's the principle for today. Ready? Find your peace in God and bring his peace to the world. That's the whole thing. Don't look for this world to be calm on the outside so you can be calm on the inside. No. Find your peace with God no matter what's happening around you. And then in turn, bring his peace to the world. Be the battery pack. Who says, I know who brings me peace. And if I'm looking for peace in all the wrong places, that'd be a great song title. If I'm looking for peace in other places, I'm gonna always feel drained. But if I can get my peace with God, I could be in a position to bring his peace to the world around me. I can work for that. I can be a peacemaker. I can do all I can to live in peace. I hope that's what you'll do. It's Christmas time. I'll wrap up with this. It's Christmas time. For some of you, you're going to spend time with some relatives or extended family or coworkers or something for Christmas get-togethers, maybe at someone else's house, maybe at your house, more than you usually do. And for some of you, you have some not very peaceable people in that mix. Some people who don't bring calm to the family dynamic when you're together, right? It's Christmas. Like, man, I love Christmas, but they talk about peace, and there's no peace when that person's around. What do you do? Here's what I'm gonna challenge you to do. Don't walk into this next holiday gathering expecting that person to deliver peace to you. Just don't do it. If you're like, well, I've done it before, it's their turn. Just stop the fairness game. Don't expect them to be the one that fills you with peace. give that up and say, it's not even in my mindset. You just go there and say, I will have peace from God. I'm going to remind myself that God is good, that he has saved me, that he loves me, that he is with me, and that we're going to be okay. No matter what happens, I get through it, and he goes, and I'm going to have peace because of God. And I'm not looking for that person to bring calm to my life so I can be calm. I'm going to come and say, no matter what's happening in the room, I'm calm on the inside because I found my peace in God. And then here's the challenge for you. Why don't you try to be a peacemaker to Uncle Wilbur? If anyone has an Uncle Wilbur, I apologize. I don't know him. I'm just throwing out names. Why don't you be the one that brings peace? Well, he should. I know. But how about you say, I'm filled with peace? Because if you're looking for Uncle Wilbur to do it, you'll be drained all Christmas. How about you be the peacemaker? How about you work for peace? Say, well, no matter what I do, you might be surprised what you could do if you didn't have to sit there and say, well, when he says that, I'm going to say this. Or you could be surprised what you can do if you could be kind when there's not kindness and quiet when there was something that you didn't have to say. You might be surprised what you can do when there's grace to bring peace. And even if you can't, you just do all you can do and have peace in here because God gives us peace. And this Christmas, I think, could be better, no matter how it goes, if we look to the right source. Hope you have a great Christmas. Thank God for his peace.